from listener to the adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space. From a long line of brave and well-bred noblemen, Lord Dinby ventures forth on his rocket ship, the Wanderer, in search of high adventure, low cunning, and for queen and country. Joined by his able companions, Huxley, Calculo, and Simpson, the Duke of Space faces adventure and danger at every turn. After months of searching, Lord Dinby and his crew have finally found and cornered the diabolical Professor Walter Drimbury. He sits in a small craft with flames guttering from the direct hits of powerful weapons. A battle-damaged Wanderer floats nearby, its hull pocked with laser scars and its crew bruised and weary.
Lord, his ship appears to be disabled.
Very good. Simpson, establish communications with Professor W.D., if you will.
Yes, Your Grace.
Well, hello, Your Grace. It seems we meet again, as the saying goes.
Yes, I fear for the last time, Professor. I have been given strict orders by Her Majesty to end your reign of terror. You have demonstrated that restraining you is to no avail.
Yes, I fear it is. After you freed the cadets I sold into slavery, I couldn't sit idly by in that prison you put me in, Lord Witherspoon. The High Lord of Space must not be outdone, or, what is worse, forgotten. You understand, I'm sure.
Well, I'm afraid to say that outdone is what you are, and forgotten is what you will be. You have put up a grand fight, I admit, but it is over, my good man.
No, Lord Witherspoon, it is not. For this craft may be small, but it is still quite capable.
He's firing some kind of weapon, my lord. Our scanning rays didn't pick it up before.
The engines have taken serious damage. We're down to only 20% of our thrust power.
Get that number up to at least 50, Mr. Dwyer, and quickly. Calculo, how fares our shielding ray?
The weapon seems to have bypassed the shielding rays, sir. There seems to be some kind of electrical charge in the system as well. I will attempt.
Calculo! My lord, he's down!
No, Huxley. Stay on the guns. Target that rascal and fire everything you have.
Yes, my lord. Blast! I can't get a good targeting solution.
My lord, we've gotten the engines up to 35% of their power. Unless I can get a new auxiliary conductor, that's the best I can do. Perhaps Calculo can help.
That is not possible at the moment, Mr. Dwyer. Right now, we need your attention turned to the targeting computational instruments.
Yes, my lord.
His ship appears to be far less damaged than we thought, Your Grace. He is banking and coming about once more.
Report damage.
Decks 10 through 15 have been exposed to space, my lord. We are losing atmosphere.
Was there anyone on those decks?
I'm checking, my lord. Miss Spencer, please come in.
I'm here, Huxley.
What is your location?
I'm in my room. Is everything okay? There was a terrible bump.
We have suffered heavy damage, Miss Spencer. Please remain in your quarters for your own safety. Oh, Miss Spencer is safe. And Miss O'Dwyer is in the engine room. And the rest of us are here, my lord.
Good. Then seal off those decks and turn your attention to destroying that vessel.
Are you there, Your Grace? Do you hear that? That is the sound of your prized, impenetrable ship being penetrated by weaponry far more advanced than your simpleton's imagination can fathom. Prepare to say goodbye to the Wanderer. Forever.
He is banking once again, Your Grace. I do not think we can take another hit.
My lord, your targeting instrument should be operational again.
Thank you, Miss O'Dwyer. Huxley, take aim and fire.
Targeting him now. Oh, blast. I still can't get a lock.
He's coming about, my lord, and his weapon is fully charged.
Executing evasive maneuvering procedures.
Our engines are not responding, your grace.
Full shielding forward.
Our shielding is inoperative. He is firing.
Target locked. Firing.
Are you alive?
Yes, my lord. I am here. Simpson, are you still with us?
I appear to be alive as well, sir, though I fear I have received a rather alarming wound.
Here, let me look at you, old chap. Dear me, do I have to bind this quickly?
Could I be of any assistance, Huxley?
No, my lord.
And I will endeavor to check on the others. Mr. Dwyer, are you there?
I'm here, my lord. The engine room's on fire, and we have no thrust and power at all. But I live.
Get those fires out, and then report back to me.
We will do, my lord.
Miss Spencer, are you well?
I'm a little bruised from the bouncing around, but I'll live. Did we win?
I'm checking that now. Our scanning devices are heavily damaged. From what I can see, yes. Yes, we have won. Professor W.D.'s ship has been annihilated.
Well, Doris will be sad she missed this, but her loss is my story. Will we be heading back to Earth?
I'm afraid I don't know whether the Wanderer will be heading anywhere anytime soon. I'm sorry, I must go. There are wounded to attend to. Apparently we'll reach 80% of the Wanderer's speed. I think it will suffice.
Well, what do you think, Huxley?
It's not the Wanderer by a shot, but I suppose it will do for now.
Oh, chin up, Huxley. By the time we return from my great Aunt Agnes's home in Worthing, I'm sure the Wanderer will be Bristol fashion once again, the Queen's personal shipyards attending to her wounds. No, I'm not at all worried about our vessel. It is our wounded comrade that occupies my mind.
That poor Calculo. What do the scientists say?
Well, they have sent to the Vatican station to get the original schematics for a series. But there are very few left in service now anywhere in the galaxy. So there's almost no one who has experience servicing such a creature.
Yes, it is all rather troubling.
But our prayers are with him and the scientist. We must trust the good God.
I wonder whether such a thing is even possible.
What do you mean, my lord?
Can one pray for such a heathen contraption as Captain? I mean, no offense, of course, but he is a man of metal and wires. One has trouble determining where the soul is in all of that.
One has trouble determining where the soul is for man as well, my lord. And yet we trust and obey, and in this case, become supplicants.
A noble thought. I hope you are right, Huxley.
As do I, my lord.
Now, Miss Spencer, will you be joining me for my great aunt's dinner party?
I wouldn't say no. A Grand Duchess's dinner party in her country manor?
Indeed. How often do you get to do that?
Well, let's see. This will be my 24th, I believe. At least since I came of age.
Well, this will only be my third. Do you think Simpson can help me pick out something appropriate to wear? I'm not sure what country fashions are these days.
I'm sure he'd be delighted to. Huxley, tell the old chap we can leave the dock at any time, and then to attend to Miss Spencer here.
Well, of course, my lord.
We will return to the adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space, after this word from our sponsor.
This is the news of the Empire. War has come to the British Isles as Germany launches an air offensive against His Majesty's Royal Air Force. The night skies of Wales and England were aglow with the luminescence of battles this past week as fighter planes crossed the Channel to engage with defensive forces over Britain. The Committee of Imperial Defence has reported that our pilots are more than holding their own against the German invaders. We will have more news after a word from Derbyshire's Travel and Adventure.
Oh, hello. I'm Cecil Augmuncher. And I play Huxley Simplebottom on the adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space. Whether I'm going on a hike through the wild forest of England's ancient landscape, or camping in the wilds of Alaska, I trust only the finest adventuring wares. Therefore, I shop only at Derbyshire's Travel and Adventure, They have the finest supplies of boots, tents, ropes, compasses, and sundry. Derbyshire's Travel and Adventure. They are there for all of your adventuring needs.
A man has come forward to police authorities, claiming to be the infamous criminal known as Jack the Ripper. The London resident, whose name is being held back by the authorities, is 80 years old and claims to have been in his late teens at the time of the murders. Historians who have been consulted by our reporters have indicated that the age and identity of the man who performed at least 5 murders in 1888 have never been satisfactorily uncovered. However, each historian we spoke to was sceptical of the man's claims. Now back to our programme.
The small ship's rockets roar as it leaps away from its dock in Earth's orbit. Out it goes, past Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune. Out into the reaches of space it flies, faster than light itself. Off it goes to the planet of Worthing, where Lord Dinby's great aunt Agnes, the Duchess of Sussex, resides and rules.
Your Grace, I have here your jacket and white tie. I apologize for the delay, but they were mislabeled in the hurry to get your items from the Wanderer's stores. Luckily, they have been undamaged.
No need to apologize, Simpson. You know, it's been some time since I had to dress up in anything other than my military regalia. It is a shame that such attire will not be appropriate for my aunt's party, but it seems that she's hosting one of the leaders of the pacifist party on her planet, and one must not offend if one can oblige.
I see nothing offensive in demonstrating that one has served the crown faithfully.
Nor I, Simpson, old boy, nor I. Admit these pacifist types are really a touchy group. I do believe my great aunt is trying to, pacify them, as it were. She has intimated to me that that is why I have been called upon to attend, to meet this pacifist leader, and jolly well talk some sense into him.
As you say, Your Grace. There you are, all put together.
Yes, I dare say that the white suits me. Well then, how long until we are ready to go down?
We are ready whenever you give the word, Your Grace. You, Miss Spencer, and I will attend your aunt's house while Mr. Simplebottom and Miss O'Dwyer will go to the beach that is on her estate. It is a private affair, so they should have a chance to recuperate a bit.
That is excellent. It will give Huxley a chance to relax, and Miss O'Dwyer some time to get her mind off the Wanderer's damage. It does seem to occupy her a bit too much.
The young are full of vim, Your Grace, and she is quite the dedicated engineer.
Too true. Well, this is why we brought her in for our little crew, yes? Hopefully a bit of sun will set her right again after being cramped in those dreary engine rooms.
I dare say it will, Your Grace, but I will not complain when we get the Wanderer back. This ship may be serviceable, and I am grateful to Her Majesty for lending it to us, but it... Well, if I am not speaking out of turn, Your Grace, it is not suited to your dignity and honor.
Well, you will hear no argument from me on that matter, Simpson. Still, we live a life of sacrifice, yes?
As you say, Your Grace.
Lord Dinby himself pilots the small spacecraft down to the surface of the planet, landing before the great house of the Grand Duchess of Sussex, Agnes Hargrave, Lord Dinby's great aunt. Saying their goodbyes, Huxley and the engineer, Claire O'Dwyer, head toward the Duchess's private beach. Simpson takes his lord's belongings around the back of the great house, and Lord Dinby enters with the news reporter, Bess Spencer, on his arm.
His Grace, the Duke of New York, Astral Kent and Sundry, accompanied by Elizabeth Spencer of the Galactic Reporter.
Oh, Dinby, how wonderful of you to come.
Aunt Agnes, I wouldn't have missed it for the universe. May I present my personal reporter, Miss Elizabeth Spencer?
It's a great pleasure, Your Grace. You can call me Bess.
I am enchanted, Miss Spencer. What a stunning dress. But Dinby, I thought you were traveling with that other reporter, the street woman.
Yes, I most certainly was. But Miss Street found herself invited to pursue another story that was a bit too attractive for her to turn down. She was, however, kind enough to introduce me to her colleague, Miss Spencer here.
We're old friends, Doris and I.
How wonderful. Dinby, I believe you know Lady Chamberlain.
Ah, Sally. How are you, my dear?
Quite well, Dinby. You know my husband, Reginald, of course.
Quite. Good to see you, Reggie.
I beg your pardon, Miss Spencer, but I require my nephew. I'm sure you and Lady Chamberlain here will have something to speak of together. I'm sorry to pull you away, Dinby, but I wanted you to meet Harold Fincher. He's the head of the pacifist party here on Worthing.
Ah, pleasure to meet you, Your Grace.
Likewise. My great aunt has spoken to me of your concerns. I must say I'm quite intrigued, and I would be delighted if you would tell me more fully your thoughts on Her Majesty's military policies.
Are you quite certain you'd be interested?
I couldn't be more interested, my good man. Now, come this way and let us talk in private. Great aunt.
Thank you, Dinby.
Ah, there's nothing like a warm day next to the sea, eh, Miss O'Dwyer?
Oh, you'll get no argument from me, Huxley. It sure beats to Bordy after 3 months.
Good Lord, you weren't on that frozen planet for that long, were you?
I certainly was, and freezing my ears off the whole time.
But whatever for?
The 2nd Ice Brigade is stationed there, and they've been having a bit of a fierce battle with some of the Soviet troops that have dug in there. They hired me to do up a bit of this and that to their heating systems.
The Soviets? Surely we're not at war with those chappies. I would have heard something.
It's all hush-hush at the moment. I don't think either side wants it to blow up past what's going on in Tavaria, so no one's saying anything.
My. What intrigue. How did you stumble into their employ?
Well, the colonel in charge of the brigade knew my pa, so when he heard I was on a tramp freighter keeping it from flying to pieces, he sent me a message. But Tubaria is too cold for me. Nothing like a bit of sun, eh?
Quite so, quite so. Now we could just lay these towels down and... Dear me! What on earth are you wearing?
What, Huxley? Have you not seen a bathing suit before?
I dare say it is bordering on scandalous, Miss O'Dwyer.
Oh, Huxley, why do you insist on calling me that? We both work for the Duke, we're both common folk, and you insist on me calling you Huxley. How would you feel if I went about calling you Mr. Simplebottom all of the time? Just call me Claire.
I don't think I could do that, Miss O'Dwyer.
Well, that's a shame, Mr. Simplebottom. Give it some thought. I'm going to see if the water's warm enough for a splash or two.
A ridiculous look on his face, one knee on the ground, and her thinking he had planned the whole thing.
My goodness! And what did she say?
Well, she thought the whole thing was the most romantic thing in the galaxy, so she said yes.
And there's no way she's going to let him out of it now that he's gone and proposed, I do say.
Well, at least she thinks he proposed.
If I know the Countess, that will make no difference. He's about as trapped as a man can be.
Now, where is my nephew? We really should have him tell us something of his latest adventures. They are quite something. Dinby? Dinby, are you there? Oh, my. Mr. Fincher, are you quite well? And Dinby, my dear, what are you doing with that knife?
What is this? Death at a dinner party? And Lord Dinby with the murder weapon in hand? Could it be that the pacifist pushed our hero too far? Will Lord Dinby spend the rest of his days behind bars? Or worse, find himself at the end of a hangman's noose? Find out next week on The Adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space.
The Adventures of Lord Dinby Witherspoon, Duke of Space is a Grey Wise Studios production. The show is penned and produced by JWG Wise and stars the voice reconstruction talents of Zoe Badovinic as the news reporter and Lady Chamberlain, Matthew Curtis as Huxley Simplebottom, Kira Fennell as Claire O'Dwyer, Finn Kilgore as Calculo, Jeff Machado as the announcer, Steve Rimpici as Simpson, and Nicole Santini as Bess Spencer, with special guest stars Jamie Klein as Professor Walter Drimbury, Amri Kadim as the butler, and Stacey Lightman as Great Aunt Agnes. You can find us on Twitter at Duke of Space and at our website, dukeofspace.com. You can also email us at dinby@dukeofspace.com.